If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to 2 Kings 18 and 19. And then look in your Bibles, go to a couple books forward to 2 Chronicles 30 and just keep a finger there. I'm just giving you that now so you can, so when we get there, you'll see what I mean. We're going to be talking about a king this morning, Hezekiah, who's a very interesting character. And there's some stories in the Bible that I will tell you, in the Old Testament especially, so many people, my dad is one of them. My dad doesn't like the Old Testament. He'll tell me, it's too hard to read, Steve. And I tell him all the time that he's missing out on great stories of the Bible. And hopefully I'll get to go back to visit him and we'll have a big Old Testament time together. But there's some great stories in the Old Testament that stir you and move you. And Hezekiah is one of them. When you start to see what Hezekiah, what he was like and what he did, I think you'll see some things that you can use in your life. Okay? Well, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, for all of it. For all of it is inspired. And you've revealed yourself in your word to us. And I'm so thankful for your word in that it grounds us and guides us and directs us and lights the path before us. And it changes us and molds us, Lord, not just the New Testament, but the entire inspired scriptures. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that you would open up our hearts and our minds this morning, that you would move in our hearts in such a way that we would understand what is being said here, that you would speak to us and open up our hearts, Lord. Soften it where it needs to be softened. Mold where it needs to be molded. Lord, make Christ known to us in a big way. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the Christmas month, and we are focusing on faith in God's faithfulness. The whole idea we want to explore together is God is faithful to accomplish all that he says he will. Last week we looked at Joshua and how God fulfilled all that was promised to Joshua and to the people of Israel. We saw how God fulfilled his promise to them by giving them a land for themselves. God established them as a nation. He fought for them, protected them for a time to settle. And all of the promises that God had made to the people of Israel and to the patriarchs, Abraham and Jacob and to Isaac, were all fulfilled. And we know that through God's help, we know that God fulfilled all that he promised, but we know that the people didn't uphold their end of the bargain. And eventually they lost the land because they did not follow the laws of God. In fact, after reading Joshua, you'll come to the book of Judges. And when you read the book of Judges, you can see the nation of Israel and their hearts slowly just start to decline. And it gets worse and worse and worse until the end of the book is just horrible. And you can see the last line in Judges says there was no king and everybody just did what they wanted. And you see this happen to the people of Israel. Which brings us to our text this morning. We are going to look at 2 Kings 18 and 19. And you can also read the story of Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 28 through 31 and even Isaiah 36 through 39. There's a lot written about Hezekiah, and I hope by the end of this morning you will see why. But first I want to touch on something that I've been thinking about for a long time, and I hit on it every once in a while because I just want to remind you. Why are we talking about stories of God's faithfulness? Why is that important in our lives? I want to encourage you through these messages. I want to point you to a big God. I want you to see a big God who is bigger than the problems that you face or the things in life that you're going to face, because you will face big issues in your life. And I want you to also understand that it's important for you to see that God is faithful. Because there's going to be times when you're going to have to wait for things. And you're going to have to trust in God and His faithfulness. And it's going to be difficult. I think part of the problems we face today is that we have fashioned God into our own likeness, and He is small. He's very small. And if you have a small view of God, it is going to play out in every facet of your life. I promise. When you face problems, when life challenges you, if you have a small view of God, He is not going to get you through what you're facing. You're not. He's not going to be there for you. Also, most importantly, if you have a small God and you face temptation, you will not believe that God can deliver you. He will. And you, if you have a small God, you'll have a small view of your sin, which is bad. Real bad. If you have a big view of God, there is nothing that you can face, that you will face, that you can't handle. Because you know that your big God will see you through. By the end of this month, I want you to have a big God who saved us. I want you to see Him, that He saved us from our sin by sending His Son to die for us. And I also want you to see that if you have a big God, that even a little sin is a big deal. And why He would send His Son. It was a big sacrifice to save the sins, to take on the sins of the world. And we can put our faith in God. That's what I want you to be. That's where I want you to be at the end of this month. Because next week we're going to talk about David. And then the week after that, we're going to talk about Christ and how all the promises are yes in Him. And we can put our faith in Him. Let's look at King Hezekiah. As we unfold the story, there's a few things that you need to know to kind of get you up to speed, unless you're familiar with the story. Israel has split into two kingdoms. Last week we learned about how they came into the land and they created one nation. And now the nation has been split because of sin, because they refusal to follow God's rules. And we see that the north and the south have split. And now Israel, the northern kingdom, is gone. It's been taken. It no longer exists. It was taken captive by the Assyrians, who have taken the people of Israel away, and they have resettled the land of Samaria where they were with people from another group. And later on in the New Testament, you'll see that played out in a group of people called the Samaritans. Here's what God had to say about Israel. 2 Kings 17, 21 through 23 says this. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel, and He removed them from His presence. Only the tribe of Judah remained. Even Judah did not keep the commands of the Lord, their God, but lived according to the customs of Israel had introduced. So the Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel, afflicted them, and handed them over to the plunderers until He had banished them from His presence. This sets the stage for King Hezekiah, who was all but of 25 years old when he became king of Judah. And he had just witnessed Israel being taken captive. You can imagine the responsibility on this young man. In 2 Kings 18:3, we pick up where we see that out of all the kings of Israel and of Judah, not many of them were good. In fact, there's only like three or four that were good. Most did evil in the sight of the Lord, but Hezekiah did what was right, it says. Just as David had. He removed all the high places, the altars built on the hilltops to the other gods. He purged the land of idols. He did so well, this is what the scripture says, verses 5 through 7. Hezekiah trusted the Lord God of Israel. Not one of the kings of Judah was like him, either before him or after him. He remained faithful to Yahweh and did not turn from following God, following him, but kept the commands that the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord was with him, and wherever he went, he prospered. Those are great words to hear from the Lord about you. 18:5 says, he trusted. Hezekiah trusted God with everything. If you have your bulletin, you can look on the back and you can follow the outline and take notes, and I'd encourage you to do that. Hezekiah trusted God with everything. He was 25 years old, and he was determined to do what was right. Excuse me. He knew the history of his people, and he had watched the northern kingdom fall. He knew exactly what he had to do. 2 Chronicles 29 shows us in the very first year of his reign, the very first month, it says in 2 Chronicles 29:3, that he opened up the temple doors and he repaired them. And this should give you a picture, because the temple was no longer being used. It was abandoned. And Hezekiah was out to fix that. He gathered all the priests and he had them clean up to consecrate themselves for the Lord, for service. Get ready. He had them all gathered because they were out doing their own thing. He had to gather them all back together. Imagine it'd be like church and all the pastors just doing out, and somebody comes along and says, hey guys, clean yourselves up. You got a pastor. You got to get ready. Imagine that. They'd totally forgotten God. He cleaned out the temples and he removed anything unholy from the site. He was going to turn the people back to Yahweh, the God of their fathers, because they had abandoned them. They had closed the door to God and they had suffered greatly. And Hezekiah saw this and he knew what he had to do. Hezekiah cleaned up the temple and he started worship again. He started to sacrifice on the altars, and they sang songs to the Lord. Music was played, and the whole assembly was caught up in the worship. And it says that in 2 Chronicles 29:28, it says this. So the service of the Lord's temple was established. And then Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced over how God had prepared the people, for it had come so suddenly. It just took over. All the people wanted to be a part of it because they knew it was right and they were rejoicing. The land prospered. He celebrated Passover. Word got out into the land and Hezekiah invited everybody to come and celebrate the Passover and returning to the service of Yahweh. He urged them to give up their old ways and they came back and to worship the true God. Also, the power of God was work in Judah to unite them to carry out the commands of the king and the official word of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 30, 12. God was at work in the people, and the people were moved. God extended them grace, and he healed the people. They worshiped with joy and didn't want to stop. They had it for 1 week, and they said, let's go another week. Can you imagine being a part of that? The priest and the Levites stood up and blessed the people. God heard their voice, and their prayer came to the holy dwelling place in heaven. 2 Chronicles 30, 27. God heard them, and his blessing spilled out into the land. People came and gave to the temple. There was gladness and giving, which are clear signs that God is moving in people's hearts. They were giving away their goods and their money for the treasures of the temple so that it would build up so they could worship God and even more, and it would go out into the land and they could bless everyone. The people's hearts were made right. Hezekiah did this throughout all of Judah. He did what was good and upright, true before the Lord his God. He was diligent in every deed that he began in the service of God's temple, in the instructions and the commands and the order to seek his God, and he prospered. 2 Chronicles 31:20 and 21. It's important to note right here, Hezekiah did everything right. He did nothing wrong. After all his faithfulness and dedication, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, attacked the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. And he was intent on taking Judah. This is after Hezekiah had done everything right. The regional power, Assyria, had moved a massive army into the land surrounding Judah. And King Sennacherib was going to finish the job of the king before him. At first, Hezekiah tried to please this king. He offered him silver and gold. In fact, he stripped all the gold off the doors of the temple and he gave it to this king. And it wasn't enough. Sennacherib sent his emissary to talk to the people of Judah. And he asked them, "What are you relying on?" In other words, who do you trust? This is an important question, isn't it? When we face our most difficult times, when you are face to face with your enemy in a moment of crisis, you are going to have to answer this question. Who do you trust? Hezekiah had tried things his way and it didn't work. He was going to have to make a decision. He had done everything right up to this point. And now, after all he had done, he faced losing it all. I don't know if you've ever felt that way in your life, that you've done everything right, and all of a sudden you're faced with losing it all. That feeling that you have right there at that moment of disappointment and maybe even resentment. This emissary started to mock God in front of the people. Listen to what he said. The Rabshakeh stood and called out loudly in Hebrew. Then he spoke, "Hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. This is what the king says. Don't let Hezekiah deceive you. He can't deliver you from my hand. Don't let Hezekiah persuade you to trust in the Lord by saying, 'Certainly the Lord will deliver us.' This city will not be handed over to the king of Assyria. Don't listen to Hezekiah. For this is what the king of Assyria says. Make peace with me and surrender to me. Then every one of you may eat from his own vine and his own figs, and every one may drink water from his own cistern until I come and take you away to a land like your own, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey, so that you may live and not die. But don't listen to Hezekiah when he misleads you, saying, 'The Lord will deliver us.' Has any of the gods of the nations ever delivered his land from the power of the king of Assyria?" And at that point, no one had. Hezekiah had to make a choice. When Hezekiah heard these words spoken by the king of Assyria, he tore his clothes. He knew exactly what he had to do. 2 Kings 19:1 shows us. He humbled himself before the Lord. He tore his clothes, he covered himself in sackcloth, and he went directly to the temple. He had all the priests do the same. And he sent word to Isaiah the prophet. And Isaiah heard from God. And this is what he said. He said, tell your master this. The Lord says, don't be afraid of the words that you have heard from the king of Assyria and his attendants have blasphemed me. I am about to put a spirit in him that he will hear a rumor and return to his own land where I will cause him to fall by the sword. After the message, after this message, Hezekiah received another message from the king of Assyria, which said this. Now imagine getting both these messages. He got a letter from the king of Assyria that said this. Don't let your God, whom you trust, deceive you by promising that Jerusalem will not be handed over to the king of Assyria. Look, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the countries. They have completely destroyed them. Who will rescue you? Hezekiah received two messages, one from God and one from the king of Assyria. The king is the most powerful man on the face of the earth at the moment. No one has stood up to him and survived. There was a long list of victories for Assyria. Hezekiah could see the armies camped out in his land. He had seen what had happened to Israel. He had to make a choice. Trust in what he could see or trust in what he couldn't see. Believe the words of man or put his faith in the faithfulness of God. Hezekiah prays. Hezekiah read the letter from the king and he grabbed it from the messenger and he went directly to the Lord's temple and he spread out the letter in front of him and he prayed. And this is what he prayed. 2 Kings 19:15-19. Lord God of Israel, who is enthroned above the cherubim, you are God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made the heavens and the earth. Listen closely, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Hear the words of Sacharim, who has sent to mock the living God. Lord, it is true that the king of Assyria has devastated the nations and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, but made by human hands, wood and stone. So they have destroyed them. Now, Lord our God, please save us from his hands so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are Lord God, you alone. Can you hear the resolve in his heart? He wants to see God glorified in this. He wants the whole world to know about the Lord, his God, him alone. That's the heart of Hezekiah. He wants not just to save Israel, but he wants everybody to know who God is. You're going to know who God is after this. That's what he's thinking. You're going to see it, and you're going to believe. Even the king of Assyria is going to believe when he's done. After he prayed, Isaiah heard from the Lord. And you can read it in detail, but I'll give you two verses out of the long answer that God gave back to the king of Assyria. Here are just two verses. Who is it you mocked and blasphemed? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted your eyes in pride? Against the Holy One of Israel. And then in 28, because you're raging against me and your arrogance has reached my ears, I will put a hook in your nose and a bit in your mouth, and I will make you go back the way you came. Imagine that. That night, while the armies camped outside of Jerusalem, an angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of Assyrians. And when the people got up the next morning, there were all dead bodies out in the field. So Sacharim, the king of Assyria, broke camp and left, and he returned home and lived in Nineveh. And if you read a little bit further in your Bibles, when the king returned home, he went to the temple to worship his God. And while he was worshiping, his sons came into the temple and killed him. The king that mocked God, who thought he was great, was dead. Hezekiah did everything right, and God fought for him. He cleansed out the temple. He followed everything that God had commanded him to do. He led by example, and his people responded. God moved in the hearts. And then he was tested. Reading this story flies in the face of what many people believe what it means to follow God. People think that if we put our faith in Christ, who died for me, that God is going to bless me, and I'll prosper, and I'll never suffer again. People believe that. And I'm here to tell you that's not true. That in this life, you will face difficulties. If any of you have been around for any amount of time at all, you have seen difficulties. I don't care who you are. The person who says they've never seen difficulties at one time will find themselves in a very difficult situation with no explanation to why and no hope. But in reality, we know that life is filled with difficult times. We're going to face them, and we're going to have to make a choice. I remember this morning we were sharing how I received a phone call a few years ago. I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. And I remember that it was the doctor who called me after 3 days after the biopsy. And I was really surprised to hear the doctor on the other end. And it wasn't a nurse. And I knew something was up. You know, you just have that feeling. And the doctor said, you have tumors in your neck and they've got to come out right now. I'm going to send you to the cancer center down in Sacramento. And I remember by then I was on my knees. And I asked him, I said, do I have cancer? Because I thought, why are you sending me to the cancer center if I just got tumors? He says, yes, you have cancer. These are the things we're going to face in life. And you're going to make a choice right then. We can try to take care of it ourselves, which is a natural reaction for us all to just go, we've got to take care of it right now on our own. Hezekiah tried. He gave him gold, and it didn't work. We all kind of go through that phase. But then we're going to have to make a choice. And where do we put our faith? We can give up, or we can pray, and we can put our faith in God. Hezekiah tried to fix the problem himself, but in the end, he knew what he had to do. He had to trust God, and he did. You are going to face crisis in your life. You are going to be overwhelmed, and the enemy is going to ask you right at that moment, the most critical moment, who do you trust? And who are you going to, you're going to have to make a choice. And remember what I've said all along. God isn't interested in your comfort as much as he's interested in your faith. Let me say that again. God is not as interested in your comfort as much as he's interested in your faith. He is going to use circumstances in your life to test and to build your faith. I promise you. God's economy, he doesn't waste any opportunities to build your faith. I don't care how small it is. It could be a pizza burning in the oven. He'll use it. To being told you have cancer. Uses it all. Because it's about building your faith and your trust in him. He wants you to trust him. Even when you can't understand what's going on around you. I'm sure Hezekiah, who did everything right, when he saw the army march in, I'm sure he's thinking, what in the world is happening? You have to put your faith in his faithfulness. God said he will not leave you or forsake you. He says he loves you and he was willing to die for you. God says that you are his sheep and no one can take you from his hand. He promises to give you hope, peace, and life. He promises a future and forgiveness. Hezekiah knew where to turn. He knew he couldn't survive the situation without God, and God was there for him. This morning, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I pray you would put your faith in the faithfulness of God when he says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." That's a promise. That's a promise. And you have to put your faith in God's faithfulness, that what he says, he'll do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the story of Hezekiah. I thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, and how you are always there for us. Even when we don't understand what we're going through, Lord, there's times when we face medical problems or a death in a family or sickness or a child or something tragic happens around us. Someone dies in an accident. We just don't understand. It's in those times, Lord, the enemy whispers to us and says, "Who are you going to trust?" Lord, I pray that you would give us the faith to turn to your faithfulness. And Lord, I pray if there's anybody here this morning that has never trusted in you, that for whatever reason, Lord, they've never fully trusted in you, that this morning, wherever they're sitting right now, that they would just admit that they are a sinner, that they fall short of the greatness and the glory of God, and that they would repent, to turn from their sins, and turn to Christ who will forgive them, that through the cross he died for their sins, and that he removes them by our faith, through grace, not by any works that we do, but by grace, through faith. And Lord, that we would commit our lives to him and live for him and trust him, with our lives. Lord, I pray for that this morning. If you prayed that prayer this morning, I pray that you would just come out as we sing. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.